Okay. It's always a schus to be together. And I know that it's still not during this week, but this is going to be the last time we're together before the Heilige Yontif of Shavuos. And Shavuos is a Yontif that obviously needs a lot of preparation. There's no other Yontif that we have accounting towards that Yontif. And we have 49 days that we've been preparing, and we've spoken about this. But there should be a tremendous excitement. There should be a tremendous excitement. You know, Lahavdil, as Hashem is Baruch, will be for each and every one of you when you're preparing for your chasana. So as the days get closer and closer to your chasana, you could imagine there's going to be a tremendous amount of excitement. Your mom is going to be very excited. There's going to be tremendous emotions. And every day you're going to want to be preparing in a special way, whether it's in a physical way, with whatever needs are need to be prepared for the chasana, whether in a spiritual way, emotional way. There's going to be a lot of preparations, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, B'shatoy Maslachas, for each and every one of you. We are about to enter into Mamish, the greatest of chasanas. And we've mentioned this at this table before, preparing for other Yom Tovim. When we live through a Yontiv, we're not merely commemorating a historical occasion of the past. Rav Dessler made famous in Michtam Eliyahu that every Yontiv has shefa, has influence, has kochos, has that which we can tap into, that which created the Yontiv then, and can be, you can relive it again now. So when it's going to come, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, next week, next Tuesday night, and we're going to enter into the Yontiv of Kabbalah Satorah. And Wednesday morning, whether you stay up or you don't stay up, hopefully everybody will be in shul, even if you don't always go to shul. Shavuos morning, how can you not be in shul to listen to Kabbalah Satorah? And you're going to hear the laning from Parshas Yisro of the Aseres HaDibros. It's mamish reliving Kabbalah Satorah. You should imagine yourselves in shul on that morning, a week from Wednesday morning. You should imagine yourself literally standing at Har Sinai, being makabel the Torah, saying Nasa v'nishma, that we want to keep the Torah and connect to Hashem, and reliving that amazing occasion again. So this is what we have to prepare for, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach. It should be so exciting to each and every one of us. And that's Sfiras Omer. Obviously, Sfiras Omer is here to build that excitement. Sfiras Omer is here to create the passion, hopefully, to recognize how special this Yontiv is for each and every one of us. Now, there's a famous Gemara I probably have spoken about in the past at this table. It's one of my favorite Gemaras. There's so much to be learned from the Gemara. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, Peches Amid Aleph. And the Gemara there says that Har Sinai, Kofoleim Har Kegigis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu held a mountain on top of us like a beer vat. And he said, "Im atem mekabel matora mutav, v'mlav sham tekvuraschem." If you accept the Torah, great. But if not, there is going to be your burial. Basically threatening us that we have to accept the Torah. If not, I'm going to kill you right here on the spot. And the Gemara goes on to discuss that acceptance. But literally, we were forced to accept the Torah at Har Sinai. That's what the Gemara tells us. An explicit Gemara in Shabbos. And Tosfos right away asked the question, which we should all be thinking about. Each and every one of us, each and every one of us know, and have learned so many times, those beautiful words that were taught every Yid, every one of us, said at Har Sinai. Whether we were there physically, whether it was our neshama that was there, spiritually, said those words, Nase v'nishma. Nase v'nishma. And it's such a big deal made out of those words in Chazal, and we've been taught, and Mefarshim, Nase v'nishma. We will do and we will listen. And those words were said on our own volition. Those were said voluntarily. So what does the Gemara mean? It seems like a complete contradiction, a complete stira. If we said Nasa V'nishma, why was there a need Kafal Makagigas? What happened? We said Nasa V'nishma and then Hashem held the mountaintop, but we already just accepted it. Why was He forcing us to accept the Torah? How do these two ideas go hand in hand? How does the statement by Klal Yisrael, by all of us, and again, we were all there, whether physically or spiritually, how does those words, Nas Manishra, work with this Gemara that we were forced to kafel amarkigigis? What does that mean? So you see, Nasa v'nishma were words that we expressed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after having a tremendous level of closeness to Hashem, a tremendous hargashas alev, a feeling, an emotional connection to Hashem and all He's done for us. After living through all of the Gilui Shechina, the revelations of God in Yetziat Mitzrayim, seeing with our own eyes 10 Makos, living through a Kriyas Yamsuf, can't even imagine what it was. So then that same Rabbeinu Shalom, that just did so much for us. Mamish did so much for us. That same Rabbeinu Shalom that's giving to us. That same Rabbeinu Shalom that just allowed us to walk through a sea. And here He is, and we literally, He's revealed to us at Har Sinai as well. We're seeing thunder and hearing lightning, whatever that means, which is really just a representation of how clear God was to each and every one of us. So that same God says to us, here's the Torah. And we're not going to immediately jump on it. We're not going to immediately say, Nasa v'nishma. Rabbeinu Shalom. You, Rabbeinu Shalom, you that do everything in the world for us, that just did all this for us, whatever you want us to do, we're all in. We're all in! And there's that emotional connection, a very special emotional connection that's so real and so deep. And it's special, we feel it, and we want to do it. You know, when somebody does something very special for you, and they ask you a favor back, you're excited to do it for them. It's not just, you would never even dream of saying no. On your own, voluntarily. And that's how a relationship forms. It's a special relationship. And it was already, at that point, a very special relationship between us and Hashem. Very special relationship. But you know what the Baal HaTurim says at that point, you could say, was the relationship. The Baal HaTurim explains that when we accepted the Torah, when we were makabel the Torah, we said Anasa v'nishma. That relationship was a relationship similar to a kedushin, similar to erusin, what we refer to when we call engagement. That was the first stage of marriage. Engagement. Now at engagement time, engagement is obviously you have a couple, a young man, a young woman. Each and every one of you should be zoicha bez Hashem, the car of mamish, the right time with the right person. But an engagement is two individuals who feel love, who feel connection, who have an emotional connection to each other, have been giving to each other, and are excited to be together. And to have a connection that brings them to a level of engagement. And it's full of simcha, full of happiness, full of joy. And the couple gets engaged. But that's only the first step in marriage. Engagement's only the first step in marriage. We have in halachic marriage, we have what's called kedushin. And then we have something called nisuin. Nisuin is the actual marriage. Now, halachically, we do that all at one time. Under your chuppah, b'shatoiv matzlachas, you're going to have, Bez Hashem, where a young man, your chassan, will take a ring and slip it on your finger and say, Hariyat Mekodesh Li B'tabazdu Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. And that's halachic engagement. That's when you're actually engaged. Until that point, you could say you're engaged, and you might have a diamond ring on your finger. Halachically, you're nothing until that moment. That's not really a halachically engaged couple. That's a socially engaged couple. That's a secular terminology. We're not halachically engaged till that point, which in the times of the Gemara, they would do that a year before the actual nisuin, the actual marriage. There was real halachic engagement. Now we do that under the chuppah, and then the chuppah, being under the chuppah with the Sheva Brachos, and perhaps the Yichud Rum as well, according to some Rishonim, that's all the actual nisuin, the actual marriage. So if Nasa v'nishma was Kedushin, was only a first stage of marriage, we still haven't gone through yet the second stage of marriage. What's the second stage of marriage? The second stage of marriage is actual marriage, nisuin, is being under that chuppah, which is total and complete commitment to each other. When a couple's engaged, it's something very special and something very emotional and full of simcha. But ultimately, they're only engaged. Each of those individuals knows you can also break an engagement. And even though that has some level of difficulty and there's what you have to go through with that, it's not the biggest deal in the world. You're single. That young woman can still marry a kohen. In our terminology of engagement, by the way, not halachic engagement. Halachic engagement wouldn't be so simple, but I'm saying what we call being engaged, right? Our first stage, what we do in our world when a couple's engaged, we're engaged. It's nice, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. But it's not yet we're married. It's not yet that ultimate, deep, real commitment. That comes at nisuin, that comes at the chuppah. You know, often I deal with couples, and usually for reasons we could all understand and we all know, in the different chemical and biological and emotional makeup of a young man and a young woman, more so usually a young man who's even already engaged, sometimes like panics a little bit, and has some serious commitment anxiety. And is scared. Like, as much as he loves that young woman and wants to spend the rest of his life with her, it's like really scary to commit in such a strong way. Like, suddenly I'm going to be living with someone 24/7, and suddenly I'm devoting my entire life to this person, and going to try to take care of her 24/7, and put her above myself always? It's a big step. It's a big move. You know, engagement is nice, so we'll have a nice l'chaim, and we'll dance, and we'll get some presents, and we'll plan a wedding, and it's like, that's all good. That's all fun and games. Actual marriage, and I'm waking up every morning next to this person, and no longer could I just take off my clothing and throw them on the ground wherever I am, because I'm living with somebody, and I have to think about that every moment, every day. I can't just decide to do what I want, when I want. Can't just on a particular light necessarily, hopefully a Ben Torah, say, I'm going to sit in yeshiva and learn till 2 in the morning on this particular night because I'm in the mood. I have a wife at home. I can't. It's not okay. Maybe my wife will be okay with that once in a while. That's beautiful. But ultimately, it's not up to me. That's scary. That's a big commitment. That's marriage. It's a big commitment. It's something very beautiful, very special. But there's a real commitment there. I'm no longer an individual. We are one. We are one, and where you walk, I walk. Your dreams are my dreams. Your aspirations are my aspirations. Hope I'm not scaring anybody off from marriage here. So we had a cow walking a little bit late, I don't know. It's something very beautiful, but it's really a big change in life. You're no longer an individual as one, you're an individual as two. As the famous story of Rav Aryeh Levine, right? You all know the story, how Rav Aryeh Levine once walked into a doctor with his wife whose leg was hurting, and he says to the doctor asks what's wrong, and he answers, our leg hurts. We are one. So that's a marriage. But the same is true in our relationship with the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So when we said Nasiv and Ishma, we were getting engaged. That's beautiful. That's fun. We just experience all that Hashem does for us. I'm in. I'm going to have a good time here. Let's go and dance and have a l'chaim. But to commit through thick and thin? Wait, that's a whole other story. Are we ready for that? Are we ready in the more difficult times? Are we ready when we don't necessarily want to? To put the Rabbanu Shel Olam above myself always. To be with the Rabbanu Shel Olam 24/7. To wake up next to him and go to sleep next to him. In all that we do and everything in between. Because that's what marriage is. So comes the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and even though we said an Asav and Ishma, even though we said and we were willing and we want to connect Hashem in the good times and the enjoyable times, still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as far as Nisuin, as far as a chuppah goes, he took the mount and says, Kaflam HaGigigas. He had to force us. He had to push us. He had to encourage us a little bit more. Because that's not so easy. The Heluga HaFla in Ksuvis says that the Har, the mountain, that God held on top of us at Har Sinai, that mountain he was holding on top of us was our chuppah. Was our chuppah. I mean, that mountain that represents Kaflam HaKigig is enforcing us to accept the Torah. If you accept, great. If not, jump, take V'raschem. It was our chuppah. Sounds pretty sad. But now we could understand what it is. Because what that meant, it didn't mean Chas V'Shalom in a somber way. It meant this is going to be ultimate, complete commitment to each other. And that's what we have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what Kabbalah's Torah is. It's not merely a fun, enjoyable engagement. It's an actual nisuin. It's commitment through thick and thin. You know, by the Umos HaOlam, by the non-Jews, they have, by their weddings, they exchange vows, right? We've all, we saw some movie where we saw this at some point in our life, right? Years ago. We're not going to admit to that. Okay, let's, maybe you did so much tshuva that you forgot it already, but you once did. Mamish yesterday, Mamish yesterday at our house, across the street, there was a family. They made a wedding in their house. Outdoors, they put up tents, and they had a wedding. It was yesterday afternoon. My kids are outside. They think it's like watching like some play or something. I don't know. There's a musical and whatever. My kids are sitting on the bench, checking. They're taking pictures. The bride, the groom, they're all excited. So I don't know. I was gone. I didn't listen to it. But Pistama, they exchange vows. That's what they do. And what do they exchange vows? Through thick and thin, through this and that. I don't know. You guys know, right? And when I have the schus to meet with a young couple, a chassan and kala, one of the things I always tell them is, even though obviously under a chuppah, we never say that to each other, we don't exchange vows, we have beautiful shavu brachos that we listen to, and the only statement by the chassan to the kala is, Hariat mekadesh lebitvadu kadas moshe v'yisrael, which is the most beautiful thing in the world. So, the rest is just being together, we don't need to exchange vows. But even though we don't say it, we live it. We mean it. If you're not ready to stand in the chuppah and feel that, then you're not ready to stand in the chuppah. So we're also exchanging vows. Even if we don't do it b'dibur, even if we don't do it in words. We're exchanging vows that through thick and thin, we're going to be by each other's side. And you know what happens by Kabbalah HaTorah? You know what happened by Har Sinai? We didn't just say we're getting engaged. Kaflam HaGigas means we exchanged vows. We're committed to each other. Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm going to be there by your side through thick and thin, and he'll be by us. And that means even when it's a little difficult. You know, a lot of young men and young women at your points in life have a very difficult time when it comes to Avodas Hashem. Let's be real. And you see it and you look around. Have a very difficult time. The years when we're in Eretz Yisrael and we're surrounded by such a conducive environment of Ruchnias, and that's our entire focus, and it's so much, it's simple, it's easy. Come back to Chutz La'aretz and you're surrounded by the environment that we live in, and you're pushed to be involved in all different types of mundane activities and happenings, which some of them being very important, but on the surface still being mundane. And we slip. And there's way less time for learning. Davening, the kavana, sporadic at best. Sometimes when it comes to snias, slowly we see sleeves and dresses that are shrinking a little bit. Slowly, inch by inch. It's not so easy. It's not so simple. When you don't have that environment of ruchnias that you were living in, that's the commitment that's slowly falling. We still love Hashem. We still love the enjoyable times. We still love Echveis Neshapurim and Simchas Torah and Halel Seder. I'm still engaged, but are we? The commitment that's through thick and thin, even when it's hard, that's difficult sometimes. But that's what we did at Har Sinai. That's what Kabbalah HaTorah was and should be for each and every one of us. Yiddishkeit is not always so simple. It's not always so easy. Neither is marriage. You know, imagine as follows. Imagine this person, and the person was looking for his lost wallet. And he's going outside, it's dark, it's at night, and he's looking for the wallet all over, and a person passes by and says, "What are you doing? I'm looking for my wallet." "Well, let me help you. Where'd you lose the wallet?" "I think I lost it over there." And he points like a block up. "I think I lost it over there." So the guy asks him, "You lost it over there, a block up? Why are you looking over here?" "Well, the lamppost is here, and it's very light over here, so it's much easier to look over there." So the guy looks at him like, "You shoite." "Yeah, but if you lost it over there, you're not going to find it over here, but it's so much easier over here." Sometimes life is not so easy, but that's what's going to lead to your success. We can't just take the easy way out because it's easy. When it comes to Avodas Hashem, sometimes it is hard to dress the way you're supposed to be dressing in a particular environment. Sometimes it is hard to daven in a particular way, in a particular day. Sometimes it's hard to serve Hashem in the way we're supposed to. But that's what the commitment is of Kabbalah HaTorah. It's a beautiful Torah. It's a beautiful Torah I heard years and years ago from Rav Moshe Weinberger. It was a Lel Slichos. It was a Lel Slichos many, many years ago. I don't know. This has to go at least 10 years ago. And he said in the love song between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shalom, the love song of Shir HaShirim. So we say those beautiful words that Shlomo HaMelech wrote. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. I am to my beloved, my beloved is to me. If we just got together tonight to say over this Torah, Mamish is well worth it. Mamish, unbelievable. Listen, this Torah penetrated my heart. Still, it's hardly a day I don't think about this Torah. Certain Torahs like that. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. It's become even such a special line. Often you'll have a husband that will buy his wife a ring and write that on it, referring to the relationship between him and his wife, but ultimately it's referring to the relationship between us and the Rabbeinu Shalom. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. Now if I asked you, before we were talking about this pasuk, if I asked anyone in this room, what's the word for love in Yiddishkeit? What's the word for love in Hebrew? You'd all say one answer. Thank you, right? Ahava. Nobody would think of Dod. Ani lo avi, lo avi li. I am to my love. My love is to me. Why choose such a strange word? Ani lo dod. Now we're used to that pasuk. We all know it. There have been many songs that have been sung to it already, right? See, Leah Gam Noah Solomon. They have a beautiful song to it. Yeah. Remy, you know? Yeah. It's all good. Beautiful, beautiful. You know, see, he wrote that.
It's my favorite one.
Noah Solomon wrote that when he was about 6 years old.
No.
Yeah. Together with his father Ben Zion, they wrote that he was about 6 years old, if I'm not mistaken. Beautiful song. Nila Do Divido Dili. It's on their Butterfly album, if I'm not mistaken. First song. Yeah. Anyways, Lamaisa. It's my brother's father-in-law, C. Lansbaum. So. Anyways, Lamaisa. Anila Do Divido Dili. Anila Do Divido Dili. So, the word Doid doesn't just mean my beloved. What else does Doid mean? Uncle. So it's even more strange. Not only are we not using the normal word that we'd use for love, we're using an uncle. Why are we referring to the relationship between us and Hashem, the relationship between that special love, as a relationship between an uncle and a niece, perhaps? Like, what's going on? So listen to what Rav Weinberger said so beautifully. He said in life, there are two types of relationships. You have a relationship of a blood relative, and they have a relationship of a marriage. And each of those has a maila nechisaron. Each of that has something very special about it and something that's very difficult about it. A chisaron, a lacking. A blood relative, the maila is, no matter what, you're going to be related. No matter what, you have a connection. When you have a brother, he's your brother no matter what. He might, lo aleinu, go off the derech, lo aleinu chas v'sholom, rachman al-atlan. You might get into a fight, you might talk for years, you might have difficulties, but ultimately he's your brother and he'll still always be your brother. That's the maila. He's always connected to you. Your father, your mother, your son, your daughter. So the maila is you're always connected. The chisaron, you didn't choose that blood relative. You were born into it. So it doesn't mean always it works. Meaning, it doesn't mean you're always going to have such love for that person. It doesn't mean you're always going to connect and going to click. You're not always closest. Not all siblings are very close. Not all parents and children are very close. You're connected, the maila, but there's a chisaron. By default, it doesn't mean you're going to have to be close. In a marriage, pum fakert, just the opposite. In a marriage, the maila is, it's a love full of mamish ava she'en kamo, the highest level of love. Why? You've chosen each other. You've decided to merge into that relationship. Obviously, you love each other. Obviously, you care about each other. The chisaron, there's a parasha called gerushin. It can cease to exist. You can disconnect. It's not always necessarily going to be. That love can fade. And you could get divorced. which doesn't, you can't divorce a sibling. You can't divorce a parent. So you have a ma'ilin chisaron in both relationships. Al pi halacha. Listen to what Varmer explained. Mamish, unbelievable. Al pi halacha. The closest relatives that are allowed to get married are an uncle and a niece. An uncle and niece are allowed to marry each other. An uncle and niece are allowed to get married. There have been uncle and nieces that have married each other. So people think wrongly. They're first cousins. Look it up. But anyways, Lameisa, Pazik says it beferish, but we're taught that when we're young. That's why he said it. Lameisa, Lameisa, Nechama Leibowitz, who was one of the greatest women who was holding in Kol HaTorah Kula, all of Tanakh, for sure, she married her uncle. Uncle and a niece are allowed to get married. What happens when you have an uncle marrying a niece? What happens when you have an uncle marrying a niece? You know what you have? You have a relationship of ala milas. You have a relationship that had all the milas. You have a blood relative, which means those two individuals will always be connected. But they're also choosing to get married. That means it's a love on the highest of levels, a ava shalesh. Anila dodi v'dodi li. You know what Shlomo Melech is teaching us? That our relationship with the Rebbeinu Shalom, with the Eivishter, should be exactly that. We're going to use and borrow the terminology of an uncle to teach me that's where my love should be for Hashem. Meaning what? Halavai, hopefully it's going to be a love that's full of passion and excitement always. But in times of, that it's not, we're not going to disconnect. We're going to realize we're always connected. No matter what, through thick and thin. That's the message of Anila Dodi V'Dodili. And that's what Kafalim HaGigigis is. It's Nasav Nishma is the fun, is the beauty, is the excitement, is the engagement. Kafalim HaGigigis is the chuppah, is the commitment, the ultimate commitment. And that's what our relationship has to be with the Eibishter. It has to be a relationship that's Ava V'Yira. It's through love and excitement, but all when necessary as well. The Rebbeinu Shalom sent me a very special matana. If you take the gematria of Ma Kofa Aleim Har Kigigis with the Koilel, what is it teaching us Kofa Aleim Har Kigigis? Ma Kofa Aleim Har Kigigis is gematria 957, exactly gematria, Tzarech Yiras Shemayim. That one needs Yiras Shemayim. Meaning it's not enough the Ava, the Simcha of Nasav and Ishma. We need Yiras Shemayim, we need awe, we need a commitment that's unfading. Is that a word? I don't know. But won't fade. That's so strong. That we're going to be with the Rebbeinu Shalom every moment, even when we don't want to. Even when it's not exciting. That's what we're going to do in our marriages as well, Bez Hashem Yisbarach. For our husbands one day. And our husbands for us. Bez Hashem Yisbarach. We have the relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through thick and thin. My Rebbe, Rav Blachman, he used to always teach us that there's a very big difference in the world between what we call Tov V'Ra and Emes and Sheker. Tov V'Ra is good and bad. Emes and Sheker is what's true and false. So people wrongly would think those are just synonyms for each other, basically. Meaning, Tov is a synonym for Emes, and Sheker is a synonym for Ra. That they're one and the same. But they're really very, very different. Tov v'ra is subjective. It's my feelings, my negias towards that situation. Emes v'sheker is objective truth. Meanwhile, let me give you an example. Imagine you're in your sukkah. It's a beautiful suda in the sukkah. And a bumblebee comes into the sukkah. And you're very scared of bumblebees. I'm sure some in this room, we don't need you to admit it, but I'm sure some in this room are scared of bumblebees, right? And you're scared of the bumblebee. And it comes your brother, and your brother knows you're scared of the bumblebee. Let's say it's Chol HaMoed, we're not going to get into halachic shailas. And he goes and he kills the bumblebee. So you're very excited. That's awesome. Great. Baruch Hashem. Give him a pat on the back. He just killed the bee that was bothering me, that I was afraid of. I'll be more comfortable in the sukkah. But you know that bee's mother? That bee's mother's mamish crying. That bee's mother, mamish, is sitting avelis for her son. He just killed her son. He just killed the bumblebee. So the queen bee is very sad. So you have here, wait, you have a situation where the same act, How one individual looks at it is wonderful and awesome. How another individual looks at it is terrible. Meaning it's just subjective reality. Subjective reality. Whether I like it or I don't. Some people will like it, some people won't like it. You have an ice cream sundae and it's all chocolate. You love chocolate, it's awesome. Somebody hates chocolate and likes only vanilla. It's terrible. It's just, it's not, there's no good or bad. It's subjective whether it's good or bad. That's tova ra. What's good and bad is in your eyes what's good and bad. Emes v'sheker is not about good and bad. It's ultimate objective truth. It's true. It doesn't matter whether you relate to it and look at it as good or bad at that very moment. It's a truth in this world. Which ultimately means in the big picture of things, it all is good because it's all what's truth. It's what's supposed to be. We just might not see it yet. We might see it as raw. But that's the world of the Rabbona Shalom, and that's the world of Avodah Hashem. When I entered into my Shtar Kedushin, when I entered into my engagement in Nasav and Ishma, religion was all about Tovara, what I liked and when it was good. When I was willing to commit in the Chuppah of Kafal and Akigigas, of what really Kabbalah Torah is. It meant I'm willing and ready to walk into a relationship of Emes V'Sheker, of ultimate commitment, of what's Emes, even if I don't see it as Tov. Even if I don't see it as good. Sometimes it's very, very hard. You have a couple, they're dating for a long time, longer than they'd like to, because their parents are pushing them to date a very, very long time, even though they're ready to get engaged and ready to get married, and they're a bentor and a bastor, but they're dating for a very long time. And it's very, very hard to not be physical with each other. That's something very, very difficult. If you really love someone, you're really emotional with someone, there are natural urges that are normal and... And in your eyes at that moment, and then imagine Chvesnish, the guy is sitting there and he's dating already 4 months, he's in love with this girl, and the girl, something bad happens, she's crying to him. Mamish, just from a way of love, wants more than anything in the world to give her a hug. Could we, in his eyes, that would be toiv. But the Eibishter says no. So MS says you can't do it. MS says you can't do it. And my commitment to the Rabbona Shalom is so strong that I'm not going to do it. That's Kafal Markigigas. Even when it's very difficult. Not just Nasav and Ishma. Not just because I want to and I love it and it's enjoyable. Kafal Markigigas, through thick and thin, I'm with the Rabbona Shalom. I got him. I'm married to him even before I'm married to my spouse. And therefore he comes first, no matter what. That's what we're about to enter into. That yantav of Kabbalah Satorah. Kafal Markigigas. And that's what all of Yetzias Mitzrayim was about. Is all Yetzias Mitzrayim, all that Hashem did for us, all the miracles, were only so we get to that commitment. If you open up Parsha Shemos in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us, I'm sorry, Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Rabbona Shalom, Maz Chus Yesh L'Israel Shiyatim Mitzrayim. What's this Chus? We're on the 49th level of Tumah, the lowest of low. What schus do we have for Hashem to split the sea for us, for Tamakos? Davar Gadol Yeshli Aotazu. Hashem says, because I have something great that's going to happen from here. Shari Atidim Lekabal Torah. In the future, they're making Mekabal the Torah. And what does that mean? If you look in the words of the Pasuk this is written on, both Siachas Ha'omim Yisrayim, Ta'avdun Es Elokim Al Harazeh. This is going to be Avodah. It's going to be Avodah Hashem. That's why we left Mitzrayim. We left Mitzrayim to reach a level where I'm willing to be Moser Nefesh for Hashem. I'm willing to commit in a very deep way. Are we willing to? Are we ready to? What is our Avodah Hashem like? What is our religion like? What is our Yiddishkeit like? Is it when it's convenient and it's enjoyable, I'm all in, but the minute it gets a little more difficult, so suddenly other things come first? Or the Eibishter is always first. My commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rock solid. Thus is Kafal HaMakigigas. That's why the Rabbona Shalom sent me another matano. If you take the gematria, matam lanu, the Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's the reason for each and every one of us for Yetzias Mitzrayim? Matam lanu, the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Gematria 1140, exactly gematria, Mesiras Nefesh. Kadosh Baruch Hu took us a Mitzrayim to be an Eved Hashem, to be willing to be Moser Nefesh, to willing to sacrifice for Hashem. Are we willing? Are we committed? Or did we only enter into Nasav and Ishma, not Kafal HaMakigigas? Are we ready to stand by our Sinai again? Are we ready to say, I'm all in, Rabbeinu Shalom? That's what Shavuos is going to be for each and every one of us. What about those of us that sometimes feel we're not even engaged? What about those of us that sometimes feel that I never feel that excitement with the Rabbanu Shalom anymore? You know, this is all beautiful. Are we willing to commit when I'm first? So we said Nasa Minishma because we felt that connection, we felt the emotions. That leads to a chuppah, that leads to an Nesu'in, that leads to the ability and willingness to commit even when it's very difficult, right? What about when we go a long, long, long time and just feel no emotional connection? What about when I feel like I'm not even engaged? Because if I'm not even engaged, I'm not going to enter into a chuppah. You can't get to chuppah if you don't first have kedushin. You're first going to have kedushin, then you could have chuppah. You can't have chuppah before you have kedushin. Right? So I think this also, Shem Yishmuel, in Parshas Bo, when discussing the Korban Pesach, I think gives us our answer. The pasuk says, "Mishchu k'chu lechem tzon l'mishpachoseim v'shachtu haPesach." Pull in and take sheep for each family to shech l'Pesach. The word mishchu is extra. Could you say k'chu? Just take. What do you mean pull in and take? So the Medrash says, we learn from here, "Mishchu yadeichem me'avodah zarah." Before you take the Korban Pesach, which represents our connection, korban is l'karev, to get close to Hashem. First, you have to remove all the avodah zarah from yourself. Mishchu yadeichem me'avodah zarah. So here the Shem Yishmuel explains that a lot of people have a tumtum halev. There are people who have a stoppage in their heart. They don't feel. They don't feel in the relationship with Hashem. There's lacking that argashas lev. They don't feel the engagement that we're talking about. Even that first step that you need in order to get to the Nisuin. Bli regesh, chios. Without any feeling. Eich efshar lehem legeshes lasos the Pesach. How are they going to get to the Korban Pesach? So it comes along, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mishchu yadeichem avodah zarah. That word Mishchu, by the way, Hashem didn't tell Moshe. Moshe added it in. Mishchu yadeichem avodah zarah. Pull yourself away from avodah zarah. Let me read you his words. Eitzas Moshe Rabbeinu lavashol. Me'ozhi. Hamida hamaleches b'chol hadoros. And this is something that's going to walk with us in all generations. Listen to this one line. B'chol zman sh'adam margish ba'atzmo. At any point where a person feels within themselves, heder chios to kedusha, some missing of the feeling of life in holiness. We're missing that life. We're missing the spark. We lost it. We don't feel that connection to Hashem. I don't have engagement. Yiskaven levroach me'adavar shekeneged. You have to have kavanah and run away from that which is opposite it. Meaning what? Shecht the avodah zarah that we're involved in. Look into our life and say, what type of gashmias, what type of taiva, temptations and materialism and secular culture and world am I so involved in that's stuffing up my heart that I don't feel the kedusha? Because naturally I should be feeling the kedusha. So if I want to feel it, if I want to feel the hargosha of connection to Hashem, first and foremost I have to remove any avodah zarah within my life. Then I'll start to feel it and be engaged. Still, at times, it will be difficult. At times, I'm going to have to dig down deep and have that commitment of Kafal and Magagigas. But it'll be balanced with the proper feelings. But if I'm living in a world of taiva, of temptation and physical pleasure, that's going to hold me back. I cannot even feel the Kedusha. Even though the Kedusha is there the whole time. So our Avodah, hopefully, for each and every one of us, is to reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, revitalize our relationship with Hashem in the Heilig Yontif of Shavuos HaBa Aleinu L'Tayva. To reach a level of chuppah, or reach a level of mamish, a level of kafal hamakigigis, a level where we're committed to Hashem. We realize we're in a marriage no matter what, through thick and thin. Even on the days when it's difficult, it's the Eibishter. I owe my life to Him, He's done so much, I'm doing for Him no matter what. And if we don't feel the kesher of hargashas alev of the kedushin, we have to do some introspection and remove that which is holding it back. I don't know if I've shared this story before at this table, but I was just thinking about this particular Talmud. I was spending time with him this week. This was already 3 years ago. 3 years ago, this Talmud was Shana Aleph in Eretz Yisrael. this year, this past year was, let's say, what was Hashanah Gimel? January of Hashanah Aleph. We'll call this guy Moshe. It's not his name. So Moshe, myself, and three other Talmidim, when I visited in January, so we took a drive up north for the day. It was an amazing day. A very special day. We went to the Arizal's Mikveh in Tzfas, and we spent time davening in Meron by Rav Shimon bar Yochai, of course. But our first stop was to gain chizik and brachos and spend time with probably the biggest mekubel in the world, Rabbi David Abuchazera. I could sit here for the next hour and tell stories about Rabbi David, but we'll just tell this one. So we're in the car, and we're getting close to Naharia. We've been in the car already 2.5 hours. This particular Talmud, he turns to me. This guy, he was supposed to go to a secular college the next year. This was January of his Shana Aleph. At that point, his mind was still, he was going to go to Brandeis, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, he was supposed to go to Brandeis. And he's starting to realize a little that maybe it's not the best of ideas for a Ben Torah. Maybe the environment won't be so great. But still at that point, he was still for sure going there. He had a scholarship, if I'm not mistaken, as well. He asked me, Rebbe, we're about to be Rabbi David, can I ask him what he thinks about going to Brandeis? So I said to him, listen, you could ask him, but this boy was in yeshiva in Tevarie, the yeshiva there, many of you know, is Rav Aaron Bina, who's very, very close to Rabbi David. He might tell you, I just told him, I just want you to be here. He might tell you that you have to speak to Rav Bina about it. He doesn't want to get involved, whatever Rav Bina says you should do. He might tell you that answer. But if he's right, but if he doesn't tell you that answer, if he tells you, for example, that he thinks it's not a good idea, you should go, you shouldn't go, don't ask him if you're not ready to follow the Eitzah. Don't just ask to ask. That's all I told him. I said, you could ask him anything in the world. But if you ask him and he tells you something, then you should be prepared to listen to it. In other words, why are you asking? That's what I told him. So we came in to Rabbi David. And first I was speaking to him for a while, asking for brachas, different things, talking about my family, thanking him for various brachas from the past. We wouldn't have had our fifth child if it wasn't for Rabbi David. That's a whole other story. Oriel Nassan Tzvi, who's up sharing, was last week, Baruch Hashem. Thank you. So after I stopped speaking, so one other Talmud came and he spoke to Rabbi David. His family is very close to Rabbi David. Rabbi David knows him. He was the next guy. And I was in... He didn't speak Hebrew at the time. I was like interpreting in between them. And then the next guy was going to be this Moshe. It was going to be this next guy. And before he speaks, before he's the next one to speak to Rabbi David privately, Rabbi David asked me if I could bring all, it was a total of 4 Talmidim all together, to bring all the guys. I want to speak to them as a group. And then they will get their personal time. So it was after one guy already spoke to him. He says, one. And again, right before this guy, Rabbi David looks at all of them, and he starts giving them this whole shmooze on the importance of Lumudei Kodesh, of sitting and learning Torah, and starts talking about Lumudei Chol, secular studies, and that of course you have to do secular studies just to get a parnasa, but it's no more than that, and you have to realize how much more important Lumudei Kodesh is than your Lumudei Chol, and you have to be willing to make sacrifices of Lumudei Kodesh above your Lumudei Chol, and a whole entire shmooze basically answering any question he had before he asked the question. It was like unbelievable. I mean, Rabbi David has Ruach HaKodesh, he's like a Navi. So I wasn't so shocked, but it was the guy, his eyes were wide as could be, he couldn't believe that right before he comes in, this is what Rabbi David does. It was unbelievable. He no longer had to ask his question. That guy, right after, decided, okay, forget it, I'm not going. I'm not going. And he sat and he learned. And he became a Ben Torah and a Baal Shemayim, Shein Kamo. He didn't just go back Shana Bet instead of going to the secular college he was going to go to. He went back Shana Gimel as well, sitting and learning. A Ben Torah, Baal Shemayim, on the highest of levels. When he made that decision then, it was exciting, and it was seeing that and hearing that from Rabbi David. But he wasn't excited to make the decision. He still very much wanted to go to that college. His heart was not with that decision. But Kaflam Har Kegigas. He knew he was already getting to that point in life, and he understood, if that's what he says, and that's what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants from me, and whether I want it or not doesn't matter. The Rabbeinu Shalom comes first. That's the commitment to the Eibishter. And Meretz Hashem, every single one of us should be on such a level. And Meretz Hashem, through these next few days, and through our Achana for Shavuos, and through the Yantav Shavuos, we should be inspired to not just be engaged to the Rabbeinu Shalom, but don't be afraid, don't have anxiety of any commitment. To marry the Rabbeinu Shalom, to go under the chuppah Bez Hashem is Baruch on Shavuos morning, and renew our vows in that deep relationship, in that deep commitment, that oneness that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that schus will be Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. We show the Rabbeinu Shalom how much we love and we're here with Him. Trust me, you'll feel it back from Him as well. And we'll only be zoicha to simcha and bracha and nachas for us and for all of Klal Yisrael. Have a beautiful night. And we will...